party and Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. And tonight, we welcome back a very special and dear friend, Art Alexakis from Everclear.
Well, that's all the applause I got?
Yeah, what
You can do better than that?
Come on, Anderson. Give it up, buddy.
I'm not sure if that's applause or someone's frying some bacon.
That's the bacon.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
How you guys doing?
Oh, great. We're doing great, Art. To see you.
How wonderful to see you. It's so cool. I listen to you guys all the time, and I almost call in. Because when Adam's being a jerk, I just want to call in.
What? Adam a jerk? What are you talking about?
Well, it's rare.
Yeah. Right. Well, yeah. Art knows I'm right.
Yeah.
He knows I'm right.
Well, I know that you know you're right because and that's basically the same thing because you don't even think you're right. You know you're right.
Right.
It's like it's like taking the confidence of a 13-year-old to be in your late 20s.
I know. I'm really thank you. I'm really not all that confident a person, am I, Drew? No, here's what I am.
You're sure of what you know.
I'm sure of what I know, but I don't think anyone cares.
You don't like it when people notice or care.
Yeah, I'm sure of what I'm saying, but I don't think anyone should listen. Anyway, right.
That's the thing I've always liked about you, Adam, and I think it's natural is that both of us are just supreme narcissists.
Yeah,
and we're really good at it.
But Drew, what is it you say about your drug addicts? You have this thing about it's really the only thing you say that's worth a damn.
tell me.
Unless you're agreeing with something I say.
Of course, that's always good.
I don't want to paraphrase. I would like it from you.
What is this?
Your narcissist drug addicts who hate themselves but hate everyone else as well, or something like that. Drew, come on. You really only have like two good ones. I'll have to think about what this was.
Because I don't think of it as a good one, I guess.
Now, yes, you say it enough. Yeah. Although you have not said it in a while. But it's basically my ass doesn't stink, but...
I have not said it in a while.
Go ahead.
I'm a piece
By
of...
By the way, take a beat.
This actually comes from a therapist out in the Del Amo Treatment Center who coined the phrase that all her patients feel like a piece of ass around which the whole world revolves.
Hmm. Right. That's what it is.
I've not said that in a long time.
Right. But that's you can feel like a piece of ass and still think the world owes you.
Yeah, revolves around you.
And revolves around you.
Well, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's our point. Art's got many projects going, acoustic shows and things like that. The thing I was interested in seeing here is the advocate for the deadbeat dad bill and all that stuff.
Yeah, that's a while ago.
It's been a while, I know, and I think we talked about it last time you're in here, but Art has always been sort of civically minded, and I like that. I like the deadbeat dad one. Yeah, put it this way. You can't get the rappers to get on board with that one. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to get the rockers on with the deadbeat dads.
Oh, there's plenty of rockers that won't get on with that too.
Oh, really?
Oh, sure.
Now, what's the problem in a nutshell?
Well, this was back in 2000 when there was a bill called the Deadbeat Dad Bill, HR 1433, that started on the floor of the House and worked its way up to the Senate and had bipartisan support, which bipartisan support isn't something that you hear too much of these days.
Right.
And once Bush got elected, it just disappeared. There was the everybody walked away from the bill. They had it piggybacked. That means that they include it with other bills,
right?
And it was pretty much assured of passing.
Why is anybody against any of these things? You know, some of these ones just sound like layups. Like, hey, we just like to get the dads,
gimmies, right?
Who knocked up the ladies to be financially responsible for
next.
Their offspring.
Next,
yeah, just stamp. Wow. Next.
Well, this is what this was about was that the fact that it's not just people knocking up gals. It's like parents, like you know, a father of a family, if his wife leaves him, he takes it out on his woman by taking it out on his kids.
Of course.
He gets back at them. And it's not just men, it's women too. But for the most part, it's men. And what this did, this took all the mystery out of getting the families paid. Because you can get a judgment against somebody, and they can dodge it for years and years and years. My dad did that.
Right.
By the way, I went and saw my dad this last week, and for the first time in 14 years.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. How was that?
He's old. God. I'm like, how can I be mad at such an old man? I mean, he's an old man.
Has he changed?
Not really. He's a sweet guy. But at the end, he's just like, God, you've been mad at me, and your sister's mad at me. I don't understand why everyone's mad at me. I don't understand what I did. And I'm like, really?
Did you tell him?
I go, Dad, can I have your email? You got an email address? I'm going to send you a letter. I wasn't going to sit there and
did he have an email address?
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that would have been a, what?
But you know what? I wrote the letter.
Never sent it.
No, I sent it to myself.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
No, I know.
We want you to send it to him, though. We feel like people need to know what they've done.
It'd give him a heart attack. There's no point in it. He's 83 years old. I don't get the point.
Mm. And
I know.
Maybe we got to have that letter to read to all the other a-hole dads.
You know what? Next time I'll bring the letter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll bring
like
the letter
because
he won't listen to this.
No.
He hates you guys.
Probably doing something with my dad right now.
Hey,
away from a radio.
Speaking of civic-minded, I was just on the stump with John Edwards like about a month ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
He may be running for vice president now.
I hope so. That'd be a strong ticket.
Yeah, what do you think? Do you think it's going to be like McCain or Hillary Clinton? People saying like Hillary Clinton. I could get down with McCain, by the way. I like
McCain as vice president for the Democrats?
I can't tell if he's a Republican or Democrat.
Oh, wait, is he a Republican?
Yeah, he's a Republican.
He's a Republican. He's a Republican, but he does...
No, he's pro-life, man. There's no way he's gonna make that ticket.
I didn't even know McCain. That's right. I guess he is.
I think it's going to be Edwards.
All right. Anderson thinks Edwards, too. All right, let's get to the phones. What's going on with Everclear?
Everclear, I'm writing songs, and we're getting ready to put out a greatest hit sometime. We don't have a date set. We got a new song on the record called Glorious. It's a really cool song. I was trying to wrangle a copy of it to bring down and play for you guys like as an exclusive, but couldn't find it. So,
all right, it was probably next to the letter.
Probably sucked.
But
no, I know where the letter is.
All right, but next time bring the letter and the CD.
I'll do that for sure.
All right. Tori? You're 17?
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay. For the past, 10 and a half months, or almost 11
hours. Hold on a second. Don't you hate when you're stupid, when you repeat someone else's stupid stuff? Like, I didn't think of McCain. I was sitting at a table with a bunch of guys, and we were going, who the hell is going to run over at Kimmel today? And someone said, what about McCain? And it just stuck into my head, and then I spat it out on the radio. Not thinking about if he was a Democrat or a Republican.
I do that probably a lot more than you do, though.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah.
All right.
You rarely do that, so feel good.
All right.
Tori was about to tell us something very difficult, I could tell. She's been building
Go ahead, baby.
Sorry, Tori. Speaking of Kimmel,
I'm watching him right now.
You got the,
she's in Chicago.
Oh, okay. What's happening, baby doll?
For the last 10 months. What?
It's okay.
He's talking to somebody else.
Is your mom in the room? Or?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll put you on hold and we'll get back to you, okay?
Okay.
All right, hold on. Can I tell you?
We haven't had one of those in a while.
Yeah.
What?
Usually the last time we had it, she was telling us about how she was having anal sex. Good night, Mom. Good night. Yeah, thanks. Okay.
Yeah,
anyway.
Me too.
Good night, Father McConaughey.
Yeah, that was the last one we had. Danny?
Yeah.
You're 16?
Hello?
Yes?
Wow, sorry, I was falling asleep.
Sorry, baby doll. All that political discourse knocked her off. Go ahead, baby. What's your question?
I was calling because, I lost my boyfriend back in September. And lately I've had, feelings for, one of my close friends or whatever, but...
Whoa. You guys moved so fast past crucial material. What do you mean you lost your boyfriend?
He was killed in a car wreck.
What happened?
Really?
I mean, instantaneously,
What?
instantaneously died, or was he alive for a while?
No, it was instant. So it was. I mean, thank God for that. But
How long did you go out with him? How long did you know him?
Officially 4 months, but like what people don't realize is that was like my best friend for a long time before that.
Are you okay?
Yeah. So it wasn't like the hardest part. It wasn't just like losing like the boyfriend aspect of it. It was like the best friend part of it. You know.
But are you okay?
Yeah, I mean,
It can be very hard for teenagers to deal with a peer is dying. I'm not enough to tell you, but it shatters some of their ability to sort of defend against the feelings become overwhelming. The young persons aren't supposed to die. Teenagers feel invincible, and it shatters all that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I got this other thought about it, which is the kids, it's almost like an injury, like they snap back.
Oh.
Better. I mean, it's never a good time. I remember there was a couple of my good friends died in high school. It was like, oh man, this is sad. All right, well, let's eat.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Do you really think that you actually dealt with it, or you just
remember
your opening observations about Adam.
Huh?
Yeah.
Remember your opening observations about Adam.
I know, but I'm trying to peel away the onion.
Didn't get in. There is that component, too.
Oh.
It just doesn't get in.
No,
teenagers are very good at that, too.
No, I'm saying, how dare you? I am saying, God, it's so weird. These guys, Robert and Lenny. Anyway, those two guys died in a Pinto station wagon. Boom, burst into flames.
Good times.
Oh, man. Pegged in between two cars. Car just went up like a torch and never got out.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is it was very sad. I went to both their funerals, but it didn't haunt me, I guess. I mean, it's never good age to have somebody die. And in a way, I think better 16 than 26.
Well, here's the point he's making.
Well, marginally better.
It might be more likely to get in. You might be able to have the feelings associated with it at 26 than at 16.
I'm just saying at 26, you could go into a stupor if your mate died and not be right for
a while.
For years.
Right.
Yeah.
Damn. I know from experiences similar to that. I mean, well, exactly like that. I lost my girlfriend who was like a year older than me when I was 13, like a year after my brother died.
What happened with the girlfriend?
She killed herself.
Wow.
Right after my brother died of an overdose. So I was 13 years old, and it was pretty devastating, and I was definitely self-medicating at that time in a big way.
Oh, yeah.
So that, I thought that helped. Actually, it just kind of put it off until, you know, later on in life, till my mid-20s when I got clean. It was just like it all came back to get me.
And the suicide is even a bigger and bitterer pill to swallow for the boyfriend and or girlfriend, whoever's left behind. Danny?
Danny, do you have a question?
That's sad.
Huh?
It's sad.
Go ahead.
So you have a guy now.
I wonder, like, how long after that, like, is it normal? Because, like, I have a lot of friends. Like, he was a really popular guy or whatever, and like, some people are like, I haven't really asked anyone about it, but everyone just seems to want to put it in their opinion anyway. And some people, you know, think it's okay for me to move on. And some people just think I'm trying too hard to move on too quickly.
How long ago was it?
It was in September?
It was 5 months ago on the 27th.
5 months ago. And how long?
Six months, you're officially free to date.
How long were you going out?
Like, officially 4 months. But like I said, it was like the whole aspect of losing my best friend.
You need to go ahead and just go move on with your life.
This was your best friend, though? Your only...
And boyfriend. But
were you best friends before your boyfriend?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right, 6 months.
So it takes about 6 months usually to get over, you know, not get over, but to really have completed grieving. And at that point, it's you got to, you know, you're 16, you got to have a life. He wouldn't want you to end your life.
Because of
his misfortune.
Hey, Danny. Yeah, I would have too at 16.
Like, well, again, both your observation at the beginning of the show about the narcissism and there you go.
Yeah. Like, that's, your point is, Danny.
Yeah.
How are you? When you talk about dating with this guy, I mean, can you just start spending time with him and become friends with him? I mean,
that's like what's happening right now. It's just like, I don't know. It's like I feel weird about it, but at the same time, like, I want to move on. I don't want to be stuck in it, you know? Like, I listen to you guys' show, and I hear these messed up people all the time, and I'm like, I don't want to end up like that.
No, Dan, I think it's fine.
You're fine.
You're fine. If you really want to do this and you feel the need to do it, I think it's time.
Yeah.
And it's no, guilt or shame.
No,
in it.
No, all not right. at all.
Tim? Tim?
Yeah.
You're 19. What's up?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering. I've been seeing this girl for about 4 months, and she's 10 years older than me. She's 29, and she was my cheer coach in high school.
Mm-hmm. And, why did you have a cheer coach?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're a cheerleader?
Wait a minute. Let's give him a chance to back out of this. Did you say beer or cheer?
Cheer.
Okay, well, he didn't go for it. Here we come, a trucking in. Bet you wonder where we've been. We're a team that can't be beat.
Because
we're funky
David
on our feet. Yeah, do David Allen Greer.
One, two, three, four, five. That's a guy, don't take no jive.
So you had a cheer coach in high school.
Come on, Anderson.
This right. was her.
See my finger, see my thumb. We got the ball, you better run. S-O-C-K-I-T, sock it to me. Baby, my head is aching, my hips are tight, and hips are shaking from left to right. One, two, three, four, five. Cast tech, don't take no job. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Come on, baby, we gonna win. Oh!
That's a cheer, baby. That's a cheer.
Wow!
Wow.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, wow.
So, Tim.
Yeah.
She was your cheer coach in high school.
And you're in college now?
I'm cheering for Portland State University.
Did you get a cheer? Yeah, that's our
PSU in the house.
Did you some sort of scholarship for cheering?
Yeah, you get a scholarship. You get, book scholarship, and then, a couple grand for, tuition costs.
You know, those guys, your one instinct is you want to make fun of them, but then you see them, and they got big arms, and they just rattled off a push-up for every point that the basketball team scored, right. And they're in triple overtime. Right. And you think, I'm just going to make fun of them as I'm heading the other way.
Yeah, and they're getting their college paid for.
Yeah, they're always they're sort of the gymnast guys,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
And they get to just stare up at 18-year-old vagina. You know what I want to do? Hold on a second. I had this idea.
Uh-oh.
You know what one of my dream gig is spotter. Spotter at a cheerleading camp. You know those guys?
The ones that hold them right up here?
No, those are the guys who are actually involved. I'm talking about the guys who stand behind the pyramid. They're not involved with the actual. It's during the competition.
And they just work at these camps. They don't actually
work at the
part of the team.
And they spot for the competition.
Are they grown men?
Like they're grown men. Yeah. True. Here's what you do. Watch.
Yeah, I'm watching.
This is what you do.
They just watch and wait.
You just stare at ass.
Yeah.
If you look down, you'll get into trouble. You understand? There's ass. There's 17-year-old girls, three or four pyramid layers high, and their ass is hanging out. And you just stand under them and stare at their crack for hours on end, and until a new batch moves.
It's an ever-changing batch.
And right? If you look down, you're gonna get fired. So just keep those eyes up. But your idea now, you don't wear the outfit or anything. You're just blending. You're the spotter, at those competitions and camps. They have the spotters.
Dude, how do you know so much about this?
I see it on ESPN 3 after the Lumberjack
competition. So you watched the cheerleading contest?
Anything
I watch anything.
Weird. Anything
and
obscure.
Then I had this idea about a TV series called The Spotter. Now listen to this.
Is this
idea.
A reality show?
No, this is a real. This is an hour long crime drama. Here's the deal. I was one of the greatest male cheerleader and spotters ever until the Tulane Pyramid incident of 1982. 1,500 co-eds died. And I blame myself. Don't ask.
You're framed, though. You're framed.
It wasn't my fault, but I blame myself when the Tulane Pyramid collapsed and took out 1,500 co-eds.
Yeah.
Now, even though I'm the best, I'm sort of banished to working this small cheerleading
really
camp in upstate New York.
But there's jewels, there's gems to be heard from this man.
People know me.
No,
people once in a while, they go, that's... That's Dirk Moxie. He was one of the best.
And then they shake their head and shame.
Is that from the Tulane incident? Like, I just tell them, no, that's
and
not.
And then Susie talks to Dirk best. And wants to express her enthusiasm, and people won't listen because it's Moxie.
I'm the best.
You're kind of the Columbo of spotters.
I'm the Columbo of spotters, but with a little little bit of the Hulk mixed in. Like, I'm moving. I'm trying to stay ahead of my memories.
So you just go every episode. You're going to go from small school to small school.
Yeah, I'm going to new
backwater new town to backwater town.
Yeah, high schools, cheerleading academies. You know, and again, I use a fake name and stuff, but people know that I was the best.
And there'll
you
be dramas going on,
little
like
dramas.
Little Susie's pregnant.
I'm stopping crime within the dorms. Within the gymnasiums, as the spotter.
CSI spotter.
Yeah, I'm just saying, the spotter.
Yeah, the spotter.
And you know, Dirk Moxie, one of the best spotter male cheerleaders ever, and then the Tulane.
Wow.
Yeah,
all right, let's finish with Tim. Let's finish with Tim.
1,500 co-eds died during that.
Oh,
and I blame myself.
The humanity.
Every one of their deaths, I blame myself.
Tim. Here we come, a trucking in. Right.
Come on.
Yeah,
come
speaking
on.
Of
now,
the humanity.
This is going to be a serious drama, Anderson.
All right, Tim.
Yeah.
Tim, that spotting is a good gig. Though,
how
right?
is it you maintained a relationship with her so much older than you?
Well, how much older?
10 years.
She's 10 years older than me, and it's difficult because she also has two kids.
Why did you maintain a relationship with her?
Don't know.
Did you start dating her when you were in high school?
No, all right.
No. I started dating her after I had been in college.
All right, Tim. Here's the thing. You go to all the sporting events. You got the cheerleader. You got the palm of your hand in the cheerleader's groin. You know what I mean? Chicks have a groin, right?
You need the 29-year-old mom.
Yeah, you don't need a 29-year-old mom with the baggage. I mean, look, I'm not saying it couldn't work out, but you're 19, you're on the cheerleading squad, you're in college.
I'm concerned. Whenever there's that big of a difference, I'm worried that the younger person is being exploited. Because you're just
19, he's a cheerleader.
He wears a
sweater with that tape on his wrist.
Is there any point where that stops? Like, if you get to a certain age?
Yeah, I mean, if he were into his adult life. You know, adults are all sort of the same age, whether you're 25 to like 40 or sort of. They're 28 to 45 or sort of.
So a 20-year-old and a 37-year-old, bad idea.
No, bad idea. It's a bad idea.
I wish you'd have told me that earlier.
not a horrible idea, but bad idea. I worry that there, whenever there's a position imbalance, age imbalance, there's just the potential of exploitation. And Tim seems kind of confused and can't figure out what's going on.
Just stick with one of those cheerleaders you got your hand up. Hey, you know, some of the dialogue from the spotter would go like, Dirk, Tulane was over 20 years ago. Let it go. And I just grab it. You can't forget. You know what I'm saying?
1,500.
1,500.
Just hang your head and walk off onto the field.
Because of me. We were going for the record.
Pan back.
I was trying to set the record before the kids were ready.
Could have been a contender.
Yeah. And maybe I have a little flashback.
Hey.
You know, I'm looking up.
You can make the show kind of like The Fugitive because there was actually 1,501, but you're looking for that one kid.
Right.
He's the one that screwed it up.
You took the blame. You took the rap.
Right. Yeah, it was the the two-chinned boy. It's like The Fugitive. One
like
guy
the one-armed man.
An arm. Yeah. This guy had two chins. He was a fat kid. I don't remember his name, but I put him down at the bottom in the cornerstone position, and he was stoned, and he fell apart. And they blamed me, but it was him. And I'm on him. All right, that's it. I gotta go. I gotta work on this.
Couldn't you throw in like a concentration camp or a wacky commandant or something?
No. This is the spotter.
Indians at all.
But there's going to be a lot of sex appeal, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's very sexy. Well, it's a lot of cheerleaders. A
lot of butts.
A lot of ass. Okay. And I have to look at it by law. I have to fixate on it. If I look down, people die. You know? So I'm just there with the boner, looking straight up the whole time in sweatpants. That's the profile. That's the beginning. It's like James Bond. You know, it's like the profile, the boner, and the guy looking up.
All right, Alex
Dacus is here tonight from Everclear and Oregon and many other places. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. This week on The Spotter, In order to catch an arsonist, the spotter's going to have to become
a rapist.
Yes, that's every promo works that way. We pick whatever crime, but it always ends with rapist.
Good, good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's good.
I got some people interested. Be good. Be a nice fit. Oh, I'm going to be in the USA. Room during
the You're going to pitch it to the big guys?
I'm going down, to ABC tomorrow. I'm going to pitch this spotter.
Fabulous. Yeah,
a lot of teenage ass, but man on the move. All right. Art Alexakis is here tonight from Everclear. Everclear is coming out with a best of CD with some new stuff on it. We're not sure when, though.
Yep. I'm not sure when. It's not slated yet, but it's it's not like we get to record all these songs. They're pretty much recorded.
Right.
But sometime this year.
And why best of? Why not a new CD?
Well, I think, it's a good time to... I was kind of surprised how many songs we had that were like...
Hits.
Pretty much hits, yeah. So,
yeah, I was thinking about that today.
And people have wanted to do it, and it's the record companies like them because they're low overhead, big return.
Right.
Helps them make their numbers for the year. And I don't know, it feels like closure to me for one period of my life and then move on to a different kind of thing. I think the music I'm making now is not as musically aggressive, it's not as musically aggressive, but lyrically I think it is. So it's kind of like more mature.
Right. I mean, would you say in the past the music was driven by anger and energy, and now it's a verbal articulation of it more so than
the anger?
Than the energy part.
Yeah, the energy and the anger are still there. I think they're just... I just act out in a different way.
All right.
More All focused.
Right. Yeah. That's going to maybe a guest appearance on the spotter.
Of course.
You think
it goes without saying.
Everclear plays the dance at one of the cheerleading schools.
Oh, yeah.
And there's trouble.
Yeah. And spotter takes care of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. And then we find out school. That.
Yeah, Tori.
What's that?
And by the way, let me see. The spotter, he catches people that fall. So everything is sort of stuff like, that chandelier's going to come down and crush. Don't, spotter slides in. You know, it's like, they say how these work. If he throws a javelin, the guy throws. You know how it works?
Yeah,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Will he catch someone every show? Or is that just like...
Well, he'll have to become a rapist in order to catch someone who's not a rapist at each show. That's one. Here's another idea. Think about this idea. It's real fast, and we're getting back to Tori. What about this? Terrorists take over Olympic training village in Colorado Springs or right? They lock up all the Olympic athletes, one of each.
Yes.
You got the shot putter, you got the gymnast,
yeah, yeah.
You got the steeplechase guy.
Okay, right.
You got all the guys.
Yeah.
One of everything. Now we gotta break out. You know the long distance guy?
Yeah, yeah.
The marathon runner.
Yeah.
We gotta get this message. It's 26.2 miles away, the phones are out. Go. You've got to make it, and you got to best his time by 5.
Right, it's a bomb going to go off.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's using all our Olympic skills. Yeah. The pole vaulter guys, the guy's going to get us up to the second window.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
The spotter could be there to catch people jumping out of windows.
No, it's a different show.
No, new show. I beg your pardon.
Well,
spotter could do a guest appearance.
Spotter's a series. This is a movie.
Oh, okay.
And it's called Going for the Gold or something like that, And it's all, it's got the hot gymnast chick. It's got the black boxer guy. It's all the different Olympic sports guys all trapped. We gotta outthink the terrorists and use our special skills.
Yep.
You see?
Yep.
Special
it's
skills.
It's kind of a spinoff of Charlie's Angels.
So, yeah, there's going to be a whole crew, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's sort of like, what it is? Like those movies like The Dirty Dozen.
Victoria's Village.
You're the... You're the knife thrower. You're the demolitions expert. You're the computer hacker.
Yes.
Those most. It's like that, except for it's all Olympic sports.
Got it.
Yeah. So it's like Ocean's 11.
Yes. Yeah. It's like Ocean's 11. As a matter of fact, that's a good
thing. Because kids today, you say Dirty Dozen, they're like.
Yeah. Okay. It's Ocean's, it's Ocean's 11. That's right. In the Olympic Village.
So, yes, Tori, who walked in on you, Tori?
My cousin came out of her room.
Okay.
Okay.
She was talking to us before.
We thought she was asleep.
This has got to be like anxiety-provoking, to say the least, that she was building up to tell us something very important, and then you started rambling, and then her cousin walks in.
It's not rambling.
What were you trying to say?
The ideas are good. It's not rambling.
No, she
didn't ramble. You understand? You hear me, Drew?
Yeah, yeah.
You hear what I said?
Yeah.
Jesus, not a rambler.
I know.
You know why? Because the things that came out of his mouth were important.
Pearls.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love the way your mind.
Your mom rambles. You understand? Jesus, no rambling. Mom, yes, ramble. Okay?
So, Tori.
I honestly love the way your mind thinks, Adam.
All right, so, Tori, what's your question? 17.
So, for 10 and a half months, almost a year, me and my stepsister have been sleeping together.
How long has she been your stepsister?
4-3 years.
How old is she?
Same age. I'm a couple months older than her.
All right, so you've known her since you were 14.
No, I've known her a lot longer than that.
Oh, okay. So she's
the
your stepsister.
You mean you're still living with her since you were 14?
No. Well, yeah, duh.
Right, but you've known her for how long? How old were you when you met her?
Infancy.
That's kind of weird, isn't it?
Because her mom
died
when she was 5. My dad left when I was younger, and
her dad kicked in.
Got together.
They were friends. See?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's why they
got
were
together. But ever since we were young, we never liked each other. Ever.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, they were recording like one of my birthday parties. We were at the park, and I threw sand in her eyes.
Wow.
And I mean, violently, we didn't like each other. She dislocated
her
shoulder.
All right. All right,
get back to her, I kicked her in her shin.
I get it.
All right, so
kids do this a lot, but then they end up effing each other.
Yeah. What is the question?
Well, I mean, like, we don't really want our parents to find out. But
why don't you stop doing this?
Yeah, that's the best way.
I mean, we've tried that, Jasmine. We've tried that several times, but we both really love each other.
Yeah.
And now you guys are living under the same roof.
Yes.
And the roof is over the same house?
Yes.
Oh, Christ. See, sometimes not always over the same house.
Trick question, I understand.
Yeah. People don't specify that. Tori?
Yeah.
Were you guys, other than the sort of general chaos that is your family and the people passing away and stuff, were you ever abused just in a wholesale way?
No.
Really?
No.
Because this really just seems like somebody's been abused.
Well, it's your stepsister?
No, not that I know. I mean, she'd tell me if she was.
Well, why don't you ask her? But you were probably going to find that's there.
Have you ever been with another girl?
Yeah.
Okay, so
I've never been with guys at all.
Okay, so that's your orientation then.
How old were you when you started having sex with women, girls?
12.
And how old was the person?
13.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's more so just, you know, experimenting. But
all right, so Tori, do you feel you're just a full-blown lesbian?
Yeah, of course.
And your stepsister feels the same way?
Well, she says she is, but I'm telling her she's bi.
Well, see, this could be the cause of some strife for you because...
if she goes off with a guy, I think how that's going to feel.
Yeah, and why... Why do you keep telling her she's bi? It seems like something you
wouldn't
want to tell her.
I don't know. I kind of see her as bi.
You can tell she's not lesbian the way you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's
kind of
like,
negative self-talk. Kind of.
Well, but also she may really pick up on the fact that her stepsister is just confused about her sexual orientation.
Yeah.
And is goofing around, but not committed to it.
That's true. But it sounds like Tori does. Do you really have proof that she's not gay? Like 100% gay, or do you just say that because you're worried about her not being gay and leaving you?
Well, I mean, of course I don't want her to leave me, but like...
No, of course not.
But I don't know. I mean, we've talked about it before. She says that she doesn't want to, you know, be with a guy because she's had boyfriends and she's never liked it.
All right.
Are you planning to go away to college?
Maybe.
If there's some junior college exchange program where they take goofballs from other states and send them over here.
How about she? Is she going to stay at home?
How much range you got on that moped, Rob?
Well, right now, I just
make it out to Kentucky.
Kind of stay home because the reasons, like, it was different because, like, we didn't really consider ourselves related almost.
Do you know?
Well...
Well, we now have a baby brother.
From both parents.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So
now, that's made like some sort of bridge between the two of you.
Yeah.
In the blood department.
Yeah.
Well, look, here's the thing, Tori. I don't know what went on in the past. I'm just picturing a supreme chaos reigning over in your family.
Maybe before your dad left.
It was all happened because, my mom got breast cancer. She went away for treatment. And it was just my older sister here who was, looking after us, making sure we didn't kill each other. And one day, we just kind of looked at each other different and, she asked me, to scrub her back or something. She's in the tub and, asked me just to scrub her back and, from there on.
Right. Okay. Well, that's same thing that happened with me.
Bad boundaries.
Bad boundaries.
Horrible boundaries.
All right, but here's the deal.
Horrible.
Here's
horrible,
the,
horrible.
You two...
It's really hard because I do honestly love her. I mean,
we understand.
I know, but
the boundary issues are going
to
haunt you.
I don't want to bum your high, but what are the chances your soulmate is living with you? You know what I mean?
Especially since she's not gay.
No,
by your own description.
This is like when your neighbor turns out to be your best friend, and then you hit 18 and you realize, wait a minute. That guy's not my best friend. He just lives next door to me. I mean, doesn't mean we can't talk anymore, but there's that part that you guys all got to hear when you're young, and I'm not telling you turn your back on your friends, but I'm saying your soulmate sits behind you in English class, you're in love with this person, your best friend lives across the street. All of this is caused because you don't have a car.
Right. Proximity.
As soon as you get out and start moving around and going to college and spreading it around a little, then you start really heading toward the people you like, you have common interests in, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And these so-called best friends or soulmates or loved ones, it's like, you keep in touch with them, maybe not.
You share a history.
Right. So Tori, I don't think it's going to be able to do anything as long as she's living with this woman.
She needs to go away to school, really.
Yeah.
Or go away and work.
Just go away.
You need to get out of the house.
Yes.
I don't think the two of you can live under the same roof.
No, you've sort of blown through whatever boundaries were there. They don't exist anymore.
Oh, yeah. And when you're 17, when it's game on, it's game on.
Yeah.
True. As a former passionate manager.
First of all, how dare you?
I mean, but as a 17-year-old, you were brimming with passion, yes?
Game on.
Yes.
As you say.
You were like a pressure cooker, except for instead of steam coming out of the top. Passion was oozing.
Was that passion?
From your pressure
bucket? Is that what they call that?
I thought it was cheap.
I thought it was. Although it didn't come out of my sleeve very easily. All right. I have to work on that. A little soda water. Get that passion right out.
Manual out.
Mascul out. Art Alexakis is here tonight. You know him from Everclear. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back after this. Buddy, love line of Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Dear friend, Art Alexakis is here tonight from Everclear. Godsmack in here tomorrow night.
Good times.
We need to burn through some calls. There's several up there that are waiting.
I got an idea for another show.
Oh, God.
No, we haven't had Godsmack in here for a while, have we?
No, a long while, yeah.
All right, buddy, let's get some calls.
There's three I want to get to there.
Want to talk to James?
Time. Let's start with James.
James?
We've got to keep the cheerleader theme going.
You're 21?
Yes.
Oh, you're a cheerleader. You're a male cheerleader?
That's correct.
Yeah. What do you like? What do you think of my spotter idea?
That's a pretty good idea there, Adam.
Thanks, buddy.
You can make it work?
Yeah.
Very enthusiastic.
What's up?
So I had a little quick story for you, how I met my wife. And going through high school, she was the captain of the cheerleading squad, and I was the captain of the football team, and her mom was a coach. Her mom wanted me to go do the cheerleading stuff with her, and the first stunt we learned was called a chair, where you have to put your hand right on their butt. They like sit on your hand.
It's sort of part butt, part crotch, you know?
Yeah, it's nice. Okay. So... her mom, exact words what she told me, was to put your hand right in her coo.
In her what?
Her coo.
Her coo.
Her coo, right between her legs, right there.
Thanks, yeah. Mom. This is your mother-in-law now.
Yes, I have my mother-in-law now.
That's nice.
Yeah. How is it?
Where'd she go to finishing school?
I thought you were the captain of the football team. What were you doing in the funky sweater with the letter on it?
What was that again?
Hey, George W. Bush was a cheerleader, for Christ's sakes.
I know. What?
But you don't go from captain of the football team to cheerleader. How'd that happen?
To be a cheerleader?
But you were captain of the football team. How could you do both those things?
Oh, there were different times. Because
in other words,
we had the football season, and then they had a competition time, too, where they went, like, during the summer.
So, I got it. Okay.
Picture him, like, on the sideline yelling, go me. Stuff.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. It's okay. True. Is that's what you're taking time away from my Sermon on the Mountain?
I want
so we
you to
can
go
talk
quickly.
A-holes.
Quickly.
I palm effed my girlfriend before her mom told me to fist her.
Okay.
That's it.
I said I wanted to go fast.
All right. Let's go then.
This now is Cookie, who we talked to I think last night. Remember, Cookie jumped out of a car when she saw a freeway accident. Where a tanker truck basically caught on fire. She
Not
ran
a tanker truck.
Didn't she say a tanker?
Pickup truck.
Pickup truck. I beg your pardon. Somehow I heard a tanker. And she pulled the guy out of the truck.
Why? Because you got ears. You got the same ears your wife has.
And those are?
If you put a couple zeros behind everything. If you hear 10, it sounds like 1,000.
I see. Good. That's good. It's a great way to live.
It's a good way to go.
Very exciting.
Well, hyperbole. It makes it better. It would have been better if it was a tanker truck. Cookie?
Yes.
All right, but we were saying you had the alcoholic gene.
Yeah,
because
my mother was alcoholic, and...
And we saw the way you managed thrill, the way you were activated by thrill.
Yeah, non-alcoholic, stay in the car, call 911,
right.
Roll up the window.
I thought about that long and hard, mm-hmm. And here I feel that I have control over my self and, you know, drinking in a hole, but... For me to feel that I have
as a whole,
control,
I think,
but
you
for
mean
you
actually
guys
drinking
in
a drainage ditch,
doubt, it makes me feel like, am I going to wind up under a bridge drinking mouthwash? Or...
Well, the gene means you can get out of control with it, and if the switch gets thrown, you're at risk for that.
You're just
having an alcoholic mom puts you at risk.
Okay.
She's
sober now, and she's really supportive with me. And
Cookie,
I did manage to get out of control, but I stopped that myself without treatment or AA.
All right, well, it is a progressive condition, and it will resurface in some fashion.
Okay.
And we picked up on you having that biology based on your behavior, and
okay.
Lo and behold, we were right. You have it. And then we didn't know even about your alcoholic mom yet. Now, you told us that. So just the alcoholic mom puts you 50% probability of having the gene.
Yeah.
Now, you've basically told us you've got it.
If your dad's an alcoholic, too, it's still 50%.
It's still 50%.
You might as well both drink.
Yeah, but were you raised by your mom and your dad?
Just my mother and
that,
a stepfather.
That percentage is way higher.
No, it doesn't. It's still 50%.
Alcoholic.
See, that's the whole thing.
You don't think just being... Okay.
Having disturbed family systems may make your disease come on earlier and more intensely. But just the predisposition is a pure biological predisposition.
And that's 50%.
50%,
drunk,
roughly, approximately.
How drunk you got to be to punch that mic every night, Drew?
Well, you know.
All right, so this is my policy. When I fart out a kid, if my old lady turns into an alcoholic, I go alcoholic too, since it doesn't up the ante.
That's right.
Okay.
It will make the kid's disease worse, but it won't make the probability of the disease worse.
Right.
Yeah.
That is true.
And if the kid... It's a daughter. She'll have depressive illness, too.
Drew said it was cool.
Yeah.
All right. You want to talk? Oh, we got a Germany or Florida. Andrew?
Hey, guys.
All right. This is a little game we like to call Germany or Florida. All bizarre stories, most stories that have to do with crime, emanate from either Germany or Florida.
Not just any crime. The macabre.
That's the bizarre.
The bizarre.
I said bizarre.
Yeah.
Andrew?
All right,
go ahead, buddy. You give us clues. We tell you Germany or Florida.
Right. All right. A guy tried to siphon some gas. It was in a gas tank, and he siphoned the gas, but I guess he sucked at siphoning gas, and he choked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up getting a stomach ache. Then he realized it wasn't actually hooked up to gas. He had accidentally siphoned sewage water.
Nice.
Wow, good times.
Uh-huh. So he thought he was siphoning gas out of a storage tank at, like, a gas station, and he was in the sewage.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But he accidentally, like, I guess put in the wrong thing, and it ended up being a sewage tank.
Right,
and
right.
So he got a mouthful of sewage.
Right.
Yeah, but he found him 4 hours later, and he was just, I guess, like...
All right. This feels like Florida to me. Although gas
like
is more expensive in Europe, although it's going up here.
Think about it. Where in Florida are they going to have... a tank, a sewage tank with a hose. We don't have that kind of thing, really.
No, they do, actually, down there.
In Florida?
Yeah, in soft places like that, they have septic tanks.
Septic tank, if that's... But
I'm going
know.
Florida.
All right, I'll go with Florida. All right, I'll go with you.
You really?
Yeah, I don't disagree.
You can pick your own.
No. Andrew, what is it?
Florida.
It's Florida. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. See, I know what I know the right.
And that's how you play Germany or Florida, my friend.
Good time.
Thank you. Good time. And this is why Drew and I compliment each other so much.
That's right. Adam talks, and I say, Adam, that you're doing a great job.
And then I yell at him, compliment me.
You're doing
I've
a great
never
job.
Seen you guys better together, actually.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. See.
Yeah.
Really. And Art's been here many, many times.
16 times.
Really?
Yeah, at least.
Hold on. Ann, that's enough now. Come on now. There's other people out there who want to do the show.
Oh, great. Fine.
Here we go.
Eat it.
Hurt my feelings.
Art Alexakis, everybody. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Dear friend, take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, blah, 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 blah. Art Alexakis, dear friend, on the show tonight from Everclear, of course. You can look out for that Best Of CD. And, thinking about Everclear while I was walking up my stairs today, thinking, a lot of hits.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of hits. And yeah. Drew's thinking, Chris the engineer's not in the room.
Yeah, thinking that too.
Yeah. Chris and I are become so close over the years that when Drew said, where's Chris? I said, who? I thought you'd have one of the callers. Yeah. There
and
he
you
is.
Finally registered and you went, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. He's the strong but silent type engineer, Chris. Yes, yes, yes. He's like a Navy SEAL, you know. He'd come in under cover darkness, cut your throat with piano wire and be out. Climbing that rope to
not
the helicopter,
a ripple in the water.
And then had a ripple in the water. You wouldn't even know he was there. Stealthy. They call him the Black Panther. You know what I mean? Be up in that tree, pounce on you. You wouldn't even know it hits you. Carrie?
Yes.
You're 27?
Yes.
Drew, hold on a second.
What?
What's going on with Roy?
He's walking
Siegfried
again.
Roy. He's walking.
Yeah.
What's up?
They never really specified what the injury was. As best I can imagine, something had happened in what's called the posterior circulation of his brain.
Yeah.
Which is the cerebellum and the midbrain and the brainstem and the motor, so that where the motor area sort of feeds into the brain.
Yeah. How does this go, by the way, that these things become, you know, front page news for many, many weeks, and there never anybody, you know, at a certain point after reading article number 55 about it, I want to go, look, what's the prognosis? Is he going to walk? Is it? Can he talk? Where is he?
Well, first of all,
why is it always shrouded in secrecy? And by the way, what's the shame in being injured?
Right.
There seems to be some sort of shame that's like, you know, people like coming up going, sort of weaving these tales, these optimistic tales about, I looked at him, he squeezed my hand, I knew it meant he would be all right.
Here's the
he
deal.
Says to give... How about just tell us what's wrong with the guy?
The HIPAA laws are such that doctors are not allowed...
HIPAA what?
HIPAA laws are not allowed
attacked
to...
Attacked by a tiger, you idiot.
Not a hippo. HIPAA laws... Yeah, okay. Medical caretakers cannot talk to anybody. It's illegal to say anything.
How about faggot boyfriends? Can
even
they talk?
Amongst colleagues, you're not allowed to talk to yourself where somebody could overhear it. So... Doctors are scared S-less to say anything about patients unless the patients direct them in writing what to say and when to say it. So the people that actually know what's going on are clammed up.
Right.
You got the lay people, the family, whatnot, distorting things, trying to figure things out, trying to have no idea what they're talking about or what the situation is. They're the ones that are providing information to the press.
Right.
The press are taking things further and amplifying these sort of stories, as always.
Mm-hmm.
So it's distorted, amplified misinformation.
Okay.
So there's no way to figure out what's going on. I have to try to decode the press now.
Yeah.
When it comes to any medical issue.
Well, when you hear collapse on stage from dehydration, you think junkie.
I think alcohol. Yeah, I think drugs.
All right. That's the
only one. If it's a 20-year-old guy.
Yeah.
20-year-old guy.
It's always great when the guy's got to pull out of a few concert dates because of dehydration.
That's drugs and alcohol, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
Get dehydration.
Yeah, 20-year-old's dehydrated. And
have a Sprite and get back on stage, a-hole.
You remember the day when you used to do football practice, 105-degree heat, not allowed to drink water.
Yeah.
Did you get dehydrated and faint?
No, but no, I did miss some concert dates.
Yeah, yeah.
I had to pull out of the Vans tour that year.
Yeah, but you were malingering.
All right. All right. Dehydration. Carrie?
Yeah.
You're 27?
Why have you asked me three times?
All right, baby doll. That's what we do on the show.
Yeah, I give
the
ADD name. ADD Radio. Come on.
I give the name three and the times. Number. I don't know how many times
you
I've
want,
went
you want
through.
Birthdays and all that?
All right, baby doll. She's calling from Portland, so I'm cutting her some slack. All right.
Oh, dear.
What's happening, baby doll?
Is this Adam?
Oh, boy. Are you drunk?
Is this Adam?
Yes. Is this the drunken broad from Portland who's a pain in my side?
You sound much more suave coming through my phone than over the radio.
All right. Listen, I appreciate all of this, but please tell us your problem or we're going to hang up.
My problem is this. I have been married for about a year now, but I've been with my husband for about 10 years, and I'm going to try and say this appropriately so you don't get bleeped, but whenever I give him oral, one of his testicles completely disappears, sucks all the way back into his abdomen.
Right.
And I can't even hold him down.
No, hey, Carrie.
Yeah.
That's a normal thing. Happens all the time. Many men get that. Some guys get it both sides. And the testy goes up into the inguinal canal during the contraction.
That's why I'll snap one of those dental rubber bands around.
That'll stop it.
Those are real tight.
You don't need to take
do
the test.
Do not fall asleep with that thing on.
Don't dig the test.
Just take it off.
Don't dig the testy out.
You don't really have to work on pushing and prying it out of there.
Carrie, do not do that.
Why not?
It will pop out by itself. It'll fall down.
All right.
Okay. All right. I'm satisfied.
Okay.
Well,
Drew, can you stop it from going out? From
yeah, if you hold it down, yeah, it won't go.
I just wanted to say to Art
what's that?
Art, I saw you out the other night, and you're more stunning in person than you are on TV.
Oh, where did you see me at? Momo's?
Out in Portland.
Oh, just out and about?
I won't say where, but at a very swanky little night spot.
Momo's.
Well, it's my friend's bar.
Ah.
It's the only place I go.
Is that where he was?
Momo's. Huh?
She doesn't know where she
was. No, there might have been boobies involved.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
But maybe club. Carrie's a performer.
Are you a stripper?
I'd say she cocktails at best. Carrie's
Hey, listen, I'm driving through the mountains, so I'm going to say thank you guys so much. Right.
Wait a second. Do you perform at this club?
No, I don't. I don't. Although I'd
You know what? In Portland, though, it's the highest rate of women that go to strip clubs with their boyfriends or just with friends and just hang out. Heterosexual women go to these things.
It's casual.
That's where guys are.
Huh?
That's where guys are.
Well, yeah. But it's bigger than anywhere else I've ever seen. Plus, there's more strip clubs per capita in Portland, Oregon than anywhere else in the country. Yeah, man. People will have like a little diner, a little, just crappy diner. And there'll be like a girl right up here where you're trying to eat your Monte Cristo sandwich and dip it and stuff.
And you're like, listen, this is a hardware store, sweetie. I'm just getting some toggle balls here. Yeah, I know. We're just, put some money in the can, would you?
The IHOP has a stage.
I like that.
Oh, my.
I like it when businesses expand a little. I always like the
diversify.
I like the car wash when you go to the cash register at the car wash and you're standing there and you're going, this car's gonna be another 10 minutes. And you're looking down. It's like, hey, maybe I'll buy a water pipe or some nunchucks or a switchblade comb.
But isn't that
some free popcorn?
The real mystery in it. What leads them to choose those objects?
Because that's what they like.
I'll tell you, if you go to, there's one in Hollywood that has a mini crossbow pistol. Crossbow pistol.
It does not.
I swear to God, like nudie playing cards, nunchucks, like weird sort of novelty weapons, and as well as like the Kleenex, the road maps,
the
air fresheners. Just bizarre. You know what it is? I really do think that there are guys who just show up at these places and go, look, I can use, two square feet of corner floor space over there. I'll slide in this popcorn machine, and you'll make extra $85 a month. What he said.
So they pay them to do it.
Yeah, I mean, there's just these guys just stuffing things everywhere.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I just like, I really like that everything.
So they don't have to have an inventory. These guys maintain the inventory for them.
Right.
They're just hucksters, basically.
Things that can't be sold anywhere else, basically.
But it's the mini crossbows next to the bootleg cologne, which is next to the bad jewelry, and then it's really next to the hash pipe
or the rack of CDs of people you've never heard of.
Oh, that's
ever.
I love that. Ray Stevens' greatest hits and just like crazy greatest hits stuff. And then the ones that just have the theme, like Gone Truckin'.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Greatest songs
or
to truck do.
The best one that has ever showed up in a truck stop or car wash, the Jazz Wolf.
Jazz Wolf.
Do you know about the Jazz Wolf?
No, what is it?
Oh, I'm surprised you don't know this, Adam.
Maybe I do.
Is it on late night? Is it on an infomercial late night? Well, then Adam doesn't know about it.
There's these. You know how in truck stops you can find the like
anything.
The ambient sound CDs, you know,
right.
This and that. Well, this is a cross between like ambient sound of nature with like bad Kenny G type. You know, smooth jazz.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, you'll be listening to Kenny G, like, jamming, and all of a sudden you'll hear, in the back. Yeah, it's Jazz Wolf all the way through.
Or some of them, they have, like, waves going, right? Ocean water. Something.
Well, yeah, there's those, too. Yeah.
So
it's like you get a massage.
So it's like the stuff you put on when you're trying to go to sleep or you get a massage.
But it has music, too.
But it actually has
the wolf.
That gay saxophone, which is more of like a... an oboe that Kenny G plays. By the way, if I play the sax, I'm offended that he calls that thing.
You want a barry sax. You don't want an alto sax. Or no, that's a soprano sax.
Who decided anyone liked that garbage, by the way? I know he's an easy target, but Drew, remember we were just talking there tonight about how much that stuff sucks?
Yep.
Compared to the jazz that's out there. Like, hey, if you want real jazz, you can have it.
Jazz is cool.
Yeah. All right.
You know
what I got? Everybody, this is the definition of rape, by the way, for male, which is you got to be careful when you buy those CDs at the truck stop because it'll say, original hits, and then it turns out it'll be done by, you know, Papa Do Run Run or something. Like one cover band will do the Beach Boys and the Beatles and all that crap. I got one. This is diabolical. This is the hits sung by the original artist. But it's not the same. It's not
the same. It's them 30 years later.
It's them 30 years later, and the guy's on a Casio.
Yeah.
So it's like.
It's got to say original recordings.
Right. This is the original artist, and you start listening, and you're thinking, that kind of sounds like that grassroots song. And then it's like, but something's different. Like, it starts dawning on you almost immediately.
Isn't that the worst, though?
Yeah, and then you realize, then you think, but it's still the same guy singing it. And then you realize it's not, the arrangement is different, the musician, there are no session musicians. It's the guy with the Casio.
Yeah.
Really? Is that what you want to do to your people, by the way?
Trick them.
Drag the original singer from the Guess Who or the Grassroots off his bar stool to cut some crap to fool everybody and put, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
All right. No. And you know what? You know, these are like these pills that add 2 inches of girth to your penis with the money back guarantee. No one ever goes back, especially at a truck stop. What are you going to do? Turn around and drive 600 miles back? Listen, I'm going to need my $7.
You mean those don't work?
No, they don't.
Okay, good to know.
Kirsten?
But keep trying.
Kirsten?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes, I am.
Oh, you got a question for Art?
I do.
Here he is.
Okay, Art, what
is this Kirsten
think?
From Washington State?
Yes, it is, Art.
Oh, God. This girl calls into my radio show every week.
Really?
And she's from Portland. No, let me explain. She's this is actually very interesting because she's become part of the show.
Wow.
She's from Portland, but she's living up there now. And she can't listen to my radio show every Sunday.
So she hears it on the phone.
So what she does is she calls in, we put her on the line, and she listens to it online. She's got unlimited minutes on the weekends, and it's kind of cool. And every now and then when the phones slow down a little bit, we'll go to her and start talking to her. And she's got a big crush on me, but she was telling me how hot she thought I was. And then she said that I was, tell him, Kirsten.
You're on the top of my list of older men to do.
You got to be careful with those old guys.
Yeah, but tell them who else.
They'll stroke out on you, right?
Tell them who else is on the list, Kirsten.
Okay, Scott Bakula.
And Mark Twain. Scott Bakula.
Kevin Spacey and Spacey. Ted Danson.
Wow.
But I'm at the top. I'm first.
That's an eclectic list, by the way. You got Bakula and Spacey.
It's guys with eyebrows, except for Kevin Spacey. It's guys with big Cro-Magnon eyebrows.
I got some brow. I got enough brow for the both of us.
Who else? That's four of the top ten.
Yeah, who else?
I never heard any of the others.
Yeah, who are they?
You know, that's about it. I guess I could throw Adam on there, though.
Yeah, I think you could get Bakula, by the way.
Thanks.
Yeah, call us publicist.
I'll go for Art first.
Yeah, well, see, Art you can't get. Art's too much man for you.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, but Bakula's available. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and Ted, I don't think Ted's in the running, personally.
No, Ted's in a committed relationship.
So, Kirsten, what's your question?
I want to know what you think about the whole same-sex marriage thing that just happened in Portland today.
Oh, they started marrying people. Yeah, I think it's awesome. Personally, okay. You're asking my opinion?
Yeah.
I think it's cool. Who are they hurting? Let them do what they want to do, and I think it's cool for Portland to do that. I was actually very proud when I saw that on the news today.
Thanks, cool. Kirsten. I listen, here's my thing. I think the problem that Bush has is with the actual ceremony. You know, the two dudes standing there.
So kissing?
Or the two chicks standing there. I feel like...
if you did it by mail order, it'd be okay?
No, if he said, look, I'll have all the same-sex marriages you want. One of you's got to dress up like a dude. One of you's got to put the beard on and, you know, grab a cigar or something.
In other words,
I mean?
Everyone's got to look like the two people on the top of the wedding cake.
Yeah.
Otherwise, right. Not a wedding.
Yeah, one of you needs to dress like the Monopoly guy.
Okay.
And put, like, a top hat on and a mustache, you know. And first off, it'd be
what
funny.
What is his name, anyway?
Monopoly guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's just the actual...
The community chest guy.
Because here's the whole thing. Once they're married... I don't think people really have such a difficulty with it.
No.
It's really the actual standing there part.
You know what? I have
dressed like a dude.
I have like zero feelings about it. It's like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Well,
we're fighting
well, that's
about
basically why are we talking about
right,
this?
Right. It's troubling to me. But what? I can't even reiterate some of these arguments I've heard.
Yeah, I've
because I just don't. It just seems so ridiculous.
Well, it is ridiculous, and the only reason it's going to come up is because it's an election year.
I was,
but are people really going to get behind it being an issue? And are people that?
Well, supposedly even Republican leaders on the Hill are saying that amendment's never going to happen. It's a dead issue.
I can't imagine it would. Nobody cares.
I was talking to Jimmy about this, and I was saying that I think he was talking about on his show too that we should cut a deal with the gays where it's like, I don't know why this doesn't exist in society, where like Bush goes, okay, listen, you guys can get married, but we're going to need something in return. You know what I mean? You want something? Fine. You give us somebody or something. Like
somebody.
We'd like rainbows back. You know what I mean? You guys took our rainbows and turned into a gay flag. We miss our rainbows. We want the rainbow back, and we want to be able to wear like a kerchief on our neck. You know, I'd like to be able to wear... That's something I would like to be
you
able
like
to wear.
That, huh?
I'd like that back. Jimmy suggested parades.
Loafers.
Like we went parades like...
Loafers?
Like, yeah, loafers. There's a few... Sure. There's apparel. There's
symbols.
A few symbols. There's a few things we would like to have wrestled back. I'm saying, you want to get married? What's it worth to you? What's it going to cost you?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is how this country was founded, right?
Yeah.
Give us
yeah.
something.
We trade like that with the Indians.
Give us
you know,
rainbow.
You know what they have? They have that thing that girls have that, you know, when somebody lights your cigarette and you touch their hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, gay guys can do that.
Right.
If I do that, I'm going to get hit.
Right. We would like,
I see. You want that.
We would like that.
I don't want that, but I'm saying, I mean, I'll take what I can get. Sure, why not?
I like the rainbow. I like
you want
the
rainbow?
The rainbow. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Here's a question kind of off, because I'm trying to figure this out because I've been in an argument with someone about this. When a woman does that.
Does what?
You know what I'm talking about? A guy goes to light her cigarette
she grabs
and she
hand.
Touches his
yes,
hand.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Is she coming on to him?
Yes. Well, no. It means she's you.
Is she attracted to him?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. 100%.
Yes.
I agree.
Women will look, as Adam has said a million times, will look for a reason to touch a guy that they are attracted to.
Yes.
That just sort of they're inclined to touching
and
somebody if the door's open.
Absolutely.
Conversely, will treat you like a leper.
Yeah, will wither away from you.
Lesions.
Yeah.
If she ain't into you. Like, feel what it's like. Like, once in a blue moon, a chick has to hug that guy from the office. It gives him the creeps because it's her birthday or something, and they threw a little party or something. It's like an ironing board just tilting against the wall, you know? That's what it feels like. Here's how you know
a chick... Well, you had that feeling.
Chick... Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Chick, first of all, you get the pad.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they're putting an aftershave on your shoulder. You know? It's like, there you go, buddy. You get the slap.
Putting a little gold bond.
It's the one my stepdad gives me because he's sort of robotic and he's an engineer and he's not sure what to do. So it's always like, see you later there, John. it's like he's making a pizza on my back. You know? It's always weird. All right, but the point is if a chick likes you, she'll give you the drag. She'll touch
when you're lighting something. Yeah.
They make excuses to touch. Like, they can't even help it. Like, they'll do this. Like, right. If you said something funny, they'll go, oh, all right, that's so funny. They'll pet you.
Yeah.
They will make excuses to touch. And, or conversely, make excuses not to touch.
Yeah.
Right. So if you get the...
I agree 100%. And most men I talk to, and even most women I talk to, agree with me. But,
here's the only caveat.
The woman that I'm having this discussion with absolutely doesn't agree with me, but she does do it and I watch her with the same type of guy, and a lot of times the same guy. So it's...
There you go.
Well,
but the thing about women, though, is it's... there's always exceptions with women. There's so many different flavors.
There are a handful of women who need to be desired, even if they don't desire the person that desires them.
100%. Thank you very much.
And that for that person,
they're going to touch
them. She will be alluring, even if it's with her dad. You know, it's like that's the only way she knows to interact.
And they usually don't even know it.
And they don't know.
They have no idea.
Yeah. So in that case, you could get a woman who touches your hand who has no interest in you because that's her mode.
And that's by the way, that's a sign of somebody if you knew that she was doing that, who would be bewildered if you took it as a if you sort of started then coming on, she'd be like, well, where'd you get that idea?
How dare you? But if you find a chick who does not do that with other guys and all of a sudden is dragging her hand down your shoulder every 5 minutes, she's into you.
Good times.
All right, let's take ourselves a little break. Art Alexakis here tonight from Everclear. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Yeah! Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Godsmack coming in here tomorrow night. Art here tonight from Everclear. We're going to get back to the phones. I'm seeing a threesome question.
All right, go ahead,
Drew.
Go ahead.
And then there's Tasha down here. Nothing can help.
96 minutes, Tasha.
96 minutes on hold.
103 for Christina over there.
Ooh, all right. Well, Drew, you've been rambling on about your horribly ill-fated movie ideas and television shows. Let's talk to Edward, because he's only been on hold for 10 minutes.
Pretty wet.
Christina's been on hold for 104 minutes. Tasha, we should wait till she gets up to 100 minutes because she's been on 97 and a half.
We will succeed, I'm sure.
Okay. Edward?
That's me.
Uh-oh.
What's up?
I made this was a mistake. But you're 19, what's up?
Well, I started going out with this girl, I guess, let's see, October of last year, 3 days after my birthday on the 16th, and I went...
Hold on, I already don't like him with the 3 days after my birthday.
I sort of almost don't believe it.
Wait, what was that about? He wants to send a sweater out?
Yeah, what was that about? What was motivating him to say all that?
It's supreme narcissism.
That or bogosity, one or the other.
Go ahead, Edward.
All right, it was just, we started dating and then we got serious towards December and stuff and started going out. And we ended up, one of my good friends, we went partying over at my girlfriend's house, and we all were drinking and stuff, and they both had gone upstairs, and started going at it, and I came upstairs.
They both? That's your girlfriend and your friend?
Yeah.
All right.
Male and a female?
Female.
Two females?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, I've wanted, a...
By the way, hold on. This is going to cut you off. When you say you and your friend went over to your girlfriend's house... you got to specify female friend.
It usually means your buddy.
Okay.
Yeah.
I saw two guys walking through that door.
Yeah. So So now the two chicks are upstairs getting it on.
Yeah.
They don't invite you? They just steal away?
Oh, well, they'd invited me. I was just downstairs walking everybody out and stuff and making sure they all had designated drivers and all that. So
sure.
Get a all phone right. call that one of my friends is plastered on the side
Smart.
Of the road dead or something.
Yeah.
But anyway, I'd gone upstairs and I heard her, like, screaming. Like, I've never heard the scream before. It wasn't even, like, an intimate scream, I guess you would call it. Like, a pleasureful scream.
Right, right.
A what kind of scream?
Pleasureful, I think.
Pleasureful.
Pleasureful, oh yeah, sure.
When I walked up there,
pleasureful,
like...
Pleasureful, it's like a 40s tobacco ad.
I'd rather fight than switch.
Old gold.
Yeah.
Pleasureful.
Pleasureful in every puff. All right, so... She
so
had
what
a,
happened?
A pleasureful scream.
What happened?
And when I walked up there, she was up on the headboard. My girlfriend was up on the headboard, and my female friend was fingering her, but like fingering her.
All right, hold on a second. I love a good fingering story, but this is bogus,
yes,
or you're
bogus.
Just an idiot.
Yeah,
which is
bogus.
It?
Can I go get some popcorn?
Yeah,
bogus.
Yeah.
Grab a paper
bogus
towel.
The second he started talking.
Oh, and some of that imitation butter on the side.
On the side.
So you can dip the popcorn into it?
Not the popcorn. All right, Edward.
Yeah.
Okay, this is bogus.
Why are you
Thank
doing
you.
This?
Bogus.
Why?
Yeah, you just
Why? What would he get out of it?
We'll see you in hell.
Did it happen in the...
God, you know, is there anything worse than a 19-year-old guy? Is there
yes.
any creature worse?
No.
17-year-old guy.
A what? 17?
17? I don't know.
Worse
at least
no, I
got to
say 19's worse because they're out of school. The 17-year-olds
right.
have the excuse
right.
of still being a minor.
Yeah.
The 19-year-olds, I get them all the time. They're the worst callers that call on the show. The 19 or 20-year-olds
yes.
that live at home with their parents in the suburbs.
Yes.
The worst.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
The
their
worst.
Their takes on politics, on relations between men and women
all
yeah. Are just skewed. No, they're...
These
screwed.
Are the guys that become
right.
the construction workers. Like, what was
yeah.
your guy's name?
Guys
that used
I hang
to,
out
used
with.
To kick your ass all the time. What was his name?
Who? I swung a hammer
Mike,
with?
Mike.
Stramat?
Stramat.
Well, that's a guy who worked on a minesweep in Vietnam and was hooked on pain pills. By the way, no worse foreman to have than the Vietnam vet who was did a couple tours on the minesweep and is strung out on pain meds. Yeah, that's good times.
Yeah.
That's a great guy. That's a great guy to see at 7 a.m.
Good times.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
This is a better job.
I'll tell you, this dude.
here we go.
This guy was the meanest guy I ever met in my life and used to make these proclamations where he would say, look, I'm going to get. He would say stuff like if two guys were sitting on scaffolding a couple stories up. Doing some tuck work, some repointing work, meaning take an old brick building on the side of the brick. You'd have to take a grinder and buzz out the old mortar. By the way, think about a horrible job that is. You buzz out the old mortar just an inch or so deep, and then you take new mortar and use a tuck trowel, just a half inch thick, and you stuff new mortar
what
into
does that
the
do?
Thing. Well. On an old brick building, the mortar starts to decay and it starts to come undone. You literally take your finger and pick it out. So you can't take it all out. You got to take out the outer layer, and it's called repointing.
Wow.
Anyway, me and another guy just sitting up there, some guy named Doug, just sitting, feet hanging off the scaffolding, repointing. You know, he walks by, stop talking. Like no conversation between them. No radio or anything. Just, we're sitting as far away as I am from you. Fixing the bricks, he didn't like us. He didn't like the conversing during the thing.
But be fair, you probably rambled on a bit then too.
I was. I'm not a talker.
Yeah.
The point is, he would make Mike would make the announcement that one of you is going to quit by the end of the week. I will get you to quit. I will ride you so hard you will quit. I'm not going to fire you. You will beg to quit.
Was it true?
He fired a lot of guys. He was an a-hole. He was a mean dude, and he'd scare you physically. But the greatest story is the only thing the guy ever liked was this puppy he had named Buckwheat. And he loved Buckwheat. And it was the only time you ever saw the guy smile. Like, he'd come in, he'd start yelling at everyone, and then he'd be like, come here, Buckwheat! Oh! You know, people compensate with their pets. They're colossal pricks, and then they're sweet as sugar with the pets. Matter of fact, I hate to say it, but most of PETA a-holes are this way, too. It's like they love pets. They hate people.
Yeah.
They're much worse to people than they are to pets. He loved Buckley. One day, we're working on a job up right here in Wilshire, And he told the one guy he used to ride all the time, Jeff Gaines. He said, "Jeff, you watch Buckwheat while I'm gone. I'll be back in an hour." He took off down the driveway in his pickup truck. The dog started chasing the truck, ran out onto Wilshire.
Uh-oh.
Mike just turned his truck onto Wilshire and started driving away. Buckwheat got squashed. But Mike just drove away. And this guy, Jeff, was like,
"Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. He's going to come back in an hour. We got to, like, replace Buckwheat. We got to get, like, a new dog and pay." Like, everyone just spread out. It was like, "Oh, this is Jeff. Sorry, buddy. We're splitting. I mean, you're on your own here." Yeah. I mean, we thought he was going to, like, physically assault him, you know, when he came back. Like, "Where's Buckwheat? I left you in charge of Buckwheat." No worse guy to do that. "I left you in charge of."
Oh, my God.
"And the dog's dead." Yeah, it's a good time.
And what happened when he got back?
He freaked out. Yeah, I don't think he did anything. I don't think he
You were not at the site at that point. You split. You left the site.
I'm not. No way am I going to be around here with Buckwheat. When you deliver Buckwheat's corpse to Mike, it's going to be horrible.
Now, did Mike run over his own dog? Is that
no? Another car ran over it, but the dog was chasing Mike's truck when it got ran over on Wilshire. It's good times. Good times. Tasha.
Yeah.
You're 16.
I am.
What's happening?
Okay, so I'm manic depressive, and I have a lot of anxiety and whatever non-pleasant things. And I have been on various medications for, like, the last 3 years, and nothing's worked. I'm, like, at my wit's end right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is there any other, like, form of, I don't know, something to help me besides medication?
What are the symptoms you're trying to control?
Just anxiety and depression and, I don't know, that.
And who made the diagnosis?
I don't know, a doctor from a hospital I've been in.
A psychiatric hospital?
Yeah.
And you were in? You were admitted into this psychiatric hospital?
About 10 or 12 since I'm 13.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're closing in on the record.
Yeah, I know.
What's up?
Well, you have more than just bipolar illness, right?
Yeah.
You're, what, borderline personality?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So That is what you need to think of is that in addition to having this bipolar condition where your mood fluctuates wildly and rapidly between very, very high highs and very, very low lows, there's also a deficiency in your ability to sort of regulate your feelings and feel complete as a person and maintain boundaries. And that's something you got to work on in therapy. So are you getting therapy?
Yeah, I go twice a week, but it doesn't help me there.
Okay, well, it takes a long time. And I bet you have had times where you've been under control, just you're not right now.
Yeah.
And one of the things about being borderline is you can't tolerate frustration and you're impatient and it feels like an emergency right now.
Well, what are some things she can do other than go to therapy twice a week?
What medicines are you on right now?
I am on Geodon, Effexor, and Trazodone.
Okay, and have you been on mood stabilizers recently?
Yeah.
What ones?
I don't remember.
All right, so that's one thing you can do, get back on a mood stabilizer.
Sure, I know we should get back to this, but how about some exercise?
Exercise, classical music, a stable relationship,
very good. Long walks, put them headphones on, listen to classical music.
That'll do it.
And mellow your mind.
All right.
And also, but spending time with friends, just talking.
Another problem, I can't have relationships with, like, anybody.
Yeah, do you kind of freak them out?
Yeah.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, somebody will care about you. You have to make sure it's not somebody who needs to fix you.
Yeah.
How about going to a 12-step program? If you know, there's something called Emotions Anonymous.
Really?
Yeah. And that's, again, the idea being that you can create a structured relationship with somebody when you have trouble maintaining those kinds of boundaries.
Really? When did this one pop up?
It's been around. I'm not sure. I don't usually recommend it because I'm not clear what it's doing, but Tasha's just looking for a way to have a relationship.
After you've been talking to people for years, they give it a cake.
Sponsor. I don't know what the recovery part is in EA.
Oh, I could see my mom getting involved with that group.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be trouble.
That's sort of my concern, is that to be a bunch of your moms there, and now what's going to happen? You know what I'm saying?
I think she used to go to OA meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was always great. Yeah. A lot of meetings, a lot of groups. Corollas like the groups. Christina?
Sleeping. Let's listen.
Yeah, chicks don't snore. She's only been on hold for 115 minutes. All right. This guy's got a quick automotive question. Pete?
Yeah.
You're 25?
Yeah.
What's happening? You got an automotive question?
I do.
Yeah.
I have a Jeep with a 5-liter V8 in it.
Boring. What year is it?
It's a 85.
85, ooh, right?
20 years old.
Is and it's
carbureted?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's got a mid-acceleration, well, not acceleration, when you maintain speed, a backfire.
Mm-hmm. All right. What is that? What causes that?
Yeah.
And by the way, I miss backfires. I remember you see your backfires?
All the time. Awesome. I was convinced I was getting shot.
Yeah, backfires were awesome.
Yeah, you don't really hear backfires.
No, you don't hear them anymore.
Because when I hear backfires now, they're public guns, huh?
Yeah, they are guns.
We used to think they were guns. Now they are.
Backfires are when fuel that is not combusted goes down the exhaust pipe and then reignites inside the exhaust manifold or even the tailpipe somewhere. Somewhere along its travels reignites, and that's what that boom is. So, and I'm not an expert on it, but I did have a friend, actually the same guy I used to carpool with through these horrible construction jobs, drove a VW van, and he could get his car to backfire on cue by, like, he'd pop it into neutral, push on the gas, flood it a little, drop it back into gear, and pow! You'd always do it on the freeway, under the freeway, in the tunnel, underneath, and there'd be, like, kids walking to school, and he'd just come sliding across and drop it in and just boom, and watch everyone hit the deck. It was good times.
Yeah, I had a friend with a Baja Bug that could do that.
Well, so what's wrong with
VWs?
With
are good. Well, okay, here's the thing. The gas is not being combusted properly. And it's running rich. It's using up fuel. Something's happening. Okay, so maybe you got a bad. You may have a bad bad cylinder. I bet you got a bad cylinder.
Okay.
Okay. Listen. Check your distributor cap, and then check your rotor inside of that, and then maybe even check your wires. Let's try that.
What is
that? Couldn't hurt. What's that? He might have a cylinder that's not burning the fuel.
Right. What does the distributor have to do with
distributor that? Distributor is sending the spark through the wire to the spark plugs, and if you've got a bad cap or bad rotor, the number 6 cylinder may not be getting a spark igniting.
I got it. Yeah.
That's the only thing I can think of. It's something with the carburetor, the distributor cap. Check that. Art Alexakis is here tonight from EverQuick. Art, I started talking about car distributor caps, and I saw Art start to wilt.
Yeah.
Art went.
Didn't see me wilt.
Not you, but Art was like, I saw one lid closing.
You know what? I haven't been sleeping a lot lately.
What's the matter, buddy? You want me to come over and talk about cars tonight?
would you mind?
In fact, you don't talk about whatever you want, Adam. Yeah. Happy cars.
That's true.
That's
politics,
true.
It doesn't matter.
No.
I could. You'd be sawing logs in no time.
Man, that would be great.
I'll tell you what I'll do if you really... If
just call,
really
just call me on the old hotel phone. I'll just leave it next to the bed, and you can just start talking about, like...
High school football story.
Hemmies.
Pow. Hemmies. You go right under. All right. Art is here. He's going to stay awake for one more break.
One more break.
We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Art Alexakis is here tonight. From Everclear, of course. Drew up early.
Putting my day with Eugene Levy and the Olsen Twins.
Putting his finishing touches on this Olsen Twins movie.
Yeah, good times.
New York Minute coming out pretty
May
soon, right?
May 7th or 8th, something like that.
All right, Eric says I was wrong about the backfire, so let's just take care of him real fast before we go on. Eric.
Hey, what's happening?
Tell us how backfire works.
Oh, Adam, I love you to death, but I couldn't believe you were wrong on this one.
I don't know that much about backfires, to tell you the truth.
You're correct. Generally, if it's happening on deceleration, it'll be caused by a vacuum leak or unburnt fuel, something of that nature. But if it's happening while you're driving at a constant speed, most likely it's the ignition system arcing off the block itself, like a bad wire, you know, arcing off a manifold or something.
And it's igniting in the exhaust manifold?
No, it's not igniting at all. It's actually creating an arc between the wire and the metal of the block.
And where's the backfire occurring, though?
It's in the tailpipe.
And
how does the arc get
to the tailpipe to ignite it?
Well, it's magic. But I don't know the specifics. I know the symptoms and the remedy.
All right, but it's unburnt fuel being reignited in the tailpipe, right?
But it could be unburnt fuel, but he's still got to know what to look for.
All right.
You were 90% right.
Well, I said it was unburnt fuel that was in reigniting in the tailpipe. But all right, and I said that
you're way off, by the way.
I said it was electric. He said it was arcing. Obviously, check the distributor cap and the plug wire.
You say he said it was the starter system.
No, it's not the starter system. But he says something arcing off the black. Well, anyway, Christina, I always like this one too. Adam, hey, love your work. Can't believe what I heard.
Yeah, you're so far off.
Yeah, no, this is in the tailpipe.
Wow,
like you said. And the unburned fuel reigniting. Yeah, all right.
Yeah.
All right. All right. All right. Listen, I don't know that much about that stuff, but I'd still say it was a pretty good description of it.
That's close.
Christina? It was exactly what happened.
He's mad you didn't specify between mid-speed and deceleration.
Could. There's many different ways it could happen. Yeah. I don't know what that answer is. Christina?
She's still sleeping.
Oh, yeah. What are we talking to her
for? Just see if she's awake.
She's been on hold for 125 minutes now, Drew.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk to Susie, who's 26. Susie?
How are you doing?
Good. What's up?
Actually, my question is pretty short and to the point. I have just started spending relationships with my high school sweetheart.
Spending relationships? Is that what she said?
Well, spending time with. I guess.
So with your high school sweetheart.
Yeah.
And when did you guys break up? In high school?
No. We were actually together until I was almost 21, and so it's been 5 years. And
Why did you break up?
Because we were young.
What does that mean?
Well, I guess with any relationship, when you're that
Susie,
young.
Susie, what were the reasons you broke up? If I had talked to you when you were 21, what would you have told
True.
Me the reason you
broke
up?
She was young.
I understand, well, in retrospect, but at 21, young. What would you have said the reason was then?
The reason I would say is that we owned a business, and the more money that came in between us, and as the business was growing, things got a little bit shaky in regards to trust, in regards to...
All right, Susie, stop. Let me translate. The boyfriend wanted to screw around and, in fact, started to screw around. Is that right?
No, True. He would have never cheated on me. Never.
True. Well, what was the trust
Getting
issue
kind
then?
Kind of cathartic then. It was about the cash register. The guy was dipping into...
Right. I don't really know what... He was a bit more overweight than I was, I guess, and so there were some insecurity issues on his part, and it got to the point where his jealousy issues. I was coming home from the grocery store, and he would give me a hug and check my back pockets for a phone number from the bag boy. I mean, it was just absolutely ridiculous.
So he was just seeing if you had some candy on you or something. He was jealous you're around all that food.
So he became very controlling. And...
All right, what kind of business did you guys have?
I'd rather not say.
All right. I've had an ass full of
Susie. So she's speaking in riddles.
Who cares? Just look, here's everybody. You don't have to tell us. Fine. All right. Don't tell us. I don't care.
And don't call.
But I'm hanging up on you. That's the whole thing. Here's the deal on this show. If I ask a question, you give an answer. If you'd rather not say, that's fine, but we're moving on. There you go. All right. I'll give you one last chance. Susie.
Yes.
You got 10 seconds to tell us the business you guys ran.
To tell you what?
To tell us the business you guys ran.
Okay, it was an eyeglass fix shop.
Aha!
How dare you!
Shameful.
I'm shocked. What kind of maniacs would own that kind of business?
You crazy kids with your miniature screwdrivers. Your super tiny screwdrivers. All right. We'd rather not say.
I know.
What the hell is wrong? All right, I'm done with you. You know what I don't like? I don't like people do that stuff like, listen, I got an idea for a script. Oh, what is it?
I can't talk
about it. Oh, shut up, you self-important blowhard. I'd rather not say. I've never even said that about anything ever. It's either just shut up or I'll tell you. But it's not, I'd rather... You know what it is? It's like, you got a super boring, crappy business, and if you say I'd rather not say, now it's all of a sudden you're James Bond. Oh, it's very intriguing. Must be some. I'm picturing a black attaché case made out of ballistic steel, handcuffed to her.
Absolutely.
She walks through the airport, heading to a chartered jet for destinations unknown. Meanwhile, she's stuffing Wayfair lenses back into it after fat people sit on their sunglasses. Fantastic. All right, I'm done with everyone, Drew.
I'm with
I've
you.
I've had an ass full of society.
For change,
today.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Let's talk to Christina.
No. Christina's
she's
asleep.
She's asleep. I want to see Christina.
Best caller of the night.
129 minutes.
I like to say it. Wait, leave her on there.
She may set a record. I don't know what the Love Line on hold record is, Drew, but 129 is getting...
It's getting close. I don't think anyone's ever been at 200.
No, it was really close to 200 one night. We just stopped just short.
Really close to 200 minutes on hold? Drew, why didn't you get to them? Are you telling more stories?
Art's our guest.
Take it easy. Art died. Well, Art, when I started talking about backfiring, that was it.
Yeah, it did get me sleepy, but I'm back. Talk about something sexy.
He was like once in a while you leave one of those candles out in the sun.
And they just will.
Yeah, it's like you throw that party, it's out on a picnic table, and then the next day it comes out and just...
Well, we'll have to talk about it on the break, though, Art.
All right.
Okay.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Everybody, there's the show. Godsmack in here tomorrow night. I want to thank dear friend Art for coming in. You can look for Best of Everclear coming out soon enough. And look for Art coming to a town near you, probably with his acoustic guitar.
Yeah, probably.
Good times. He'll be awake, though, when he arrives at your town.
Oh, come on. I looked all right, sleepy
drive,
a little bit.
You drive home with the window open. I don't want you
I'm
falling asleep
home.
On the road.
I'm right. going to just...
He's going down here.
I'm going to cuddle up in the front seat like a big cat.
Those are the good old days, falling asleep in the car. Mm. Remember that, Drew?
Yeah.
Now, you get drunk and pass out, but you don't really fall asleep.
No. Yeah. Too bad your dad can't carry you to bed, huh?
Oh, my dad barely get a fanny pack from the driveway into the house. All right, we're going to... Yeah, if you put like a number two pencil in it, it would stop it. He couldn't do it. We'll take a extendo break, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
I was... tell him, Kristen.
You're on the top of my list of older men to do.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.